Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Discover what God might have in store. Do you hunger in your soul for something more? Living on Every Word.
He'll restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. John the Baptist would prepare a people for the Lord by turning hearts of parents to their children and children's hearts to the parents. The question that we ask today is my heart turned to my children and do my children's heart turn to me?
Living on Every Word.
Living on Every Word.
I'd like for you to turn to Malachi chapter 4, if you would. Malachi chapter 4. One of the things that we spoke of is that based upon this Malachi passage and also a passage in Scripture in Luke, what does it mean? What does it mean for a family, for a father and a mother to walk in the relationship that's proper with their children, that's proper under God? Malachi chapter 4, last few verses of the Old Testament, God says, "Behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace. And all arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go forth and you'll skip about like calves from the stall. And you'll tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under your soles of your feet. The day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. And you remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and ordinances which I commanded with him in Oreb for all Israel. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And this is what he'll do. He'll restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Why? So that I will not come and smite the land with a curse." The spirit of Elijah, the spirit of God that rested upon him, that when he would come, the spirit would rest upon John the Baptist. John the Baptist would prepare a people for the Lord by turning hearts of parents to their children and children's hearts to the parents. What does that look like? What is it according to? Because I see a lot of parents whose hearts are turned to their children, but it's not according to the Word of God. Not according to the Word of God. Matter of fact, we have lots of parents that teach our children to run after the things of this world, to run after the junk of this world. And I think about the money, I think about the time, I think about the things that we do to see that our children should succeed according to the world, and yet how much effort have we put into their lives, to speak into their lives, to see that they are walking with God. Not according to the world. The things that we invest in, the things that we invest in, they're going to die, they're going to burn. And who cares if you made the squad, one district, one state, 6 weeks from now, much less 20 years from now, and the investments we've made. The question that we ask today is, is my heart turned to my children, and do my children's heart turn to me? And is it done in a right way? A godly way? How does that happen? How does that take place? Because, I see generations of men and generations of women whose children, man, hearts aren't turned toward them. They're turned toward their peers. They're turned toward the world. And we've got children that would rather please the world than please God or their parents. And that's a fact. Bible says, listen, when John the Baptist comes, when the spirit of Elijah comes upon the church, do you know what happens? Fathers' hearts are turned back to their children. And I want to tell you, I've seen enough children whose fathers are out of their lives to know that they are wrecks and they grow up to be wrecks. Bottom line. The Bible calls us men and women to have hearts for our children, and it must line up to the Word of God, not to the culture, not to the school, not to the world. It lines up to them that says, what is the best for my children? And what am I teaching them? What am I teaching about the gods of this world? What am I teaching about culture? Of how to run hard after the success of the world instead of the prosperity of God. It's priority. That's what it is. It's what we've been talking about. If Jesus Christ is not the centerpiece of our lives, we will mess up with our children, bottom line. Because we'll lead our children down a different road. Oh, we'll bring them to church. They'll learn some scripture. But our lifestyle will tell them something completely different. And I will tell you, I believe that the bottom line of seeing this happen, whether your children are 2 years old or a baby in the nursery or whether they are 50 years old, I want to tell you, I believe that this scripture can have great impact in your life because that's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of Elijah that comes to do this. And you may have broken relationship with your children and adult children, but I want to tell you that you can come today to this very point in your life and make this deep commitment to seek Him first and make Him the centerpiece of your life. And then you go to your sons and to your daughters and you're able to make it right with them. I've seen it happen. Years of neglect, years of separation, and all of a sudden God comes along and makes up for the wasted years. He can do that. Some of you are testimonies of that. I got to ask you, church, what kind of investment are we making in our children in a spiritual way to see that in a godly way their hearts are turned to us and our hearts are turned to them? What kind of investment do we make? I think the very first thing is that we need to see our children as God sees them. How does God see your children? Psalm chapter 127, verses 3 through 5. Don't need to turn there. We're running out of a little time here. But you know what it says? It says, children are a gift of the Lord. Fruit of the womb is a reward. But I know too many parents who think that their kids are a burden and a curse. An inconvenience. Some of you grew up with parents like that. And you know, the perspective is this, is listen, my child is a gift from God and it's a reward, a blessing, not a curse. That's how God sees them. Sees them as babies, as a gift and a reward to you. Sees them as adolescents, a gift and a reward. Teenagers, young adults, senior adults, a gift. And a reward to you. And I got to ask you this question. How are you raising your gift and your reward? How are you raising what God has given to you as a gift? How are you nurturing them, even if they're adults? I've got a father and mother that still nurture me. I'm 46. Still speaking to my life. And I praise God for it. And I got to ask you, how are you nurturing and speaking into your children's lives? Do you see them as a reward, or do you see them as a blessing, or do you see them as a curse? No matter what they've done, no matter what they've said, no matter how they've rebelled, or any of those things, I've got to continue to go to the Word that says, my children are a blessing. My children are a gift. I've got to think in terms of lining my life up to what God thinks. Because I'm going to tell you, the moment that you realize that your children are a gift from the Lord, and you believe that automatically makes you a steward of your children. That makes you a protector of your children. And you're to watch what goes into their lives, what goes into their rooms, what goes into their minds, what goes into their hearts. That the value is not what the world says is the value, but what God says. They're gifts, and we're stewards. And folks, if you're a steward of God's gifts, how do you think you're to treat the things that are really God's? I know teenage years are tough. And sometimes we wake up and think, oh, God, deliver me. And we do it more than once. Well, it's the same thing your parents prayed about you. Deliver me. And you know what? He does. He does. And we move through this fallen world. We move through this world where people do stupid things, that we do dumb things. Our children do dumb things. But God moves us on. And the scripture says if we'd raise them in the fear and instruction in the way that they should go when they grow old, they won't depart from it. question is you're truly raising them the way they need to be raised? Because if you saw them as blessings and you saw them as rewards, I want to tell you, you put a fear of God on you so that you would live right before them and not just speak of what they're supposed to do, but you live what they're supposed to do. Your life lines up to your word. Second, go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, where chance was. Because I look at this passage of Scripture, and we said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. It's the first commandment, the promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Wellness. Spiritual wellness. Some of you say, well, I didn't have a parent to truly honor because of their lifestyle. Let me ask you a question. Is that what this says? Is that what this says? Now, it doesn't give you any kind of but, and, or if. We're to honor our father and our mother. Our part now as parents, as we grow into adulthood and as we have our children, verse 4 is, as fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and in the instruction of the Lord. Angry children, bitter children, children with horrible self-images, children who do not know the unconditional love of a father or mother. It's always conditioned. I mean, let me ask the question. I'll ask the question. You don't need to raise your hand. But how many can honestly say that you grew up knowing that your parents unconditionally loved you? You grew up, and you know what you say? Most men say, most women say, I can never please them. Can never please them. And folks, I find that that's where the root of our problems are, our anger and our bitterness and our unforgiveness is toward daddy, mama, for what they did, what they said, what they didn't do, what they didn't say. And we carry these things with us. And all of a sudden we make these statements like, I'll never be like my dad. And you know what? One day you grow up and you're just like your dad. Never be like my mom. You wake up one day and you realize, I'm just like my mom. Bitterness and anger that comes from that. Scripture says, listen, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. How do we avoid provoking our children to anger? First of all, I believe you raise them in the discipline and instruction of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9 speaks about the Word of God in your life and in your home, in your household. When you look at the passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6, you say the first word out of it is, listen, the Lord God, He is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And these words which I'm commanding to you today shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you're to speak of them when you rise up from the sleep, and when you go down, when you go down to sleep at night, when you walk by the way, and when you sit in your house. You're to speak the Word and speak of the Word of God. You're supposed to talk about God. You're supposed to talk about His Word. Do we do that? Have we done that? Well, folks, we've messed up. Yeah, I messed up as a father, busy with ministry. Isn't that horrible? Busy with life. We are to speak of God and speak of His greatness. Raise them in the instruction, the fear and the instruction of God. What is this word that we're to speak? 1 John 3:23. This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son Jesus Christ and we love one another just as He commanded us. Wow. What is the Word of God? What is the one Word of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is the essence of His teaching? What is the essence of His commandment? What is the essence of the principle that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ? Are we teaching our children to believe in Him and trust in Him? Or are we teaching our children to believe and trusting something else for our happiness, our joy, our glory, goodness? What do we teach our children to find happiness in? And joy in? The world? Friendship with the world? Listen, we've seen it. We've seen it in our own that friendship with the world never, ever fulfills. Matter of fact, it'll get you killed. Destroy you. Talk about destroying your self-image, your self-worth. We raise them in the fear and instruction of the Lord. Second, you'll avoid provoking your children to anger when you avoid hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? It's where you say one thing of how your kids are supposed to live and you're supposed to live, and you do another before them or behind their back, whatever. And they know. And they see your inconsistencies. Remember, we teach our children by our lifestyle, not by just opening a devotional or even opening the Word. Let them tell you, you open the Word, you speak the Word, but you live it out. You know, Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, follow my example. I'm going to ask you, parent, can you say that? Follow my example of how to respond to offenses. Of how to respond to the evil word toward me. How to respond to the critical spirit. How to respond. Watch how I respond to these things and follow my example. In my lack of gossip, in my lack of critical spirit of those things going on around me. Follow my example is what Paul says. You avoid hypocrisy, saying one thing and doing another. And I think about this whole thought of hypocrisy and the question that I have to ask. Am I the same guy at home in my marriage with my wife and with my children? Do they see the same guy you see in the pulpit? At a men's group? At a hospital visit? That same guy. I'm going to ask you, are you the same guy? Are you the same one that says the things you're supposed to say? Then they see not only the word coming forth, but they see the lifestyle coming from your life. You got to avoid hypocrisy. Or I'm going to tell you, we will provoke our children to anger. How many of us in this have found ourselves at times angry with our parents because of some of these things? Walked in anger, walked in bitterness. And I want to tell you, hypocrisy is the one thing that drives our children away. I'm telling you. And we must be a people who strive after Him. Third, I provoke my children to anger when I don't fulfill my word. You know, there's promises that I've made that I've not kept to my children. And you know what? Scripture says hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. What are the things that we have promised our children that we have not taken care of? Fulfill your word. Next, be attentive. Yeah, you know, to me, that's the quality time that we have with our kids. It's an attentiveness. It's a one-on-one. It's eye contact. It's body language. It's a whole lifestyle that says, I truly, truly care for you. You know, I found that with my own dad. I mean, my dad was attentive. And I praise God for it. Next, avoid harshness. Embrace gentleness. You know, I believe that when you see dysfunctional families, there's nothing but harshness in them. I mean, that's a common thread. Common thread in divorces, in fractures between husbands and wives and sons and daughters and their parents is harshness. And you've got to get this out of your life. You've got to get out of your home because it'll provoke your children to anger. Harsh or gentle? The Scripture says we're to embrace a gentle spirit. A gentle spirit. The Scripture says in Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Next, discipline your children. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. Wonderful passage of Scripture on the discipline of the Lord. How fathers love their sons, and as a result, they discipline them. They put the boundaries down. They do spank when they're younger. Poor Jeremy. We had a spoon on it and we wrote on it, I need thee every hour. he didn't need it every hour. I'm just kidding. I heard that from Preacher Womack. Thought I'd use it today. Discipline your children. Put the boundaries down, but also discipline yourself. Make sure you're walking in the same discipline that you're asking them to walk in. How can we expect our children to live godly lives if we're running after these other things? There's got to be a consistency. A consistency in our lives. Not talking about perfection, just talking about direction. And I want to ask you, are we putting the boundaries down in our own lives to live the life we need to live before them? And then are we practicing the discipline of the Lord? You know, we have an illustration from the Old Testament of Eli, who did not discipline his sons. The Scripture says that Eli's family, his sons, were sons of the devil, sons of Belial. They did not serve the Lord. They did not honor the Lord. Matter of fact, they walked in adulteries. And the Bible says this about them. He says, you know, they were worthless. They didn't know God. They didn't know the proper custom with the people. They despised the offering of the Lord, and they were adulterers. And by the way, they were supposed to be priests of God. Scripture says, because of this, this family's father was someone who honored his sons above the Lord and did not discipline them and did not rebuke them. You know what? It's just a whole lot easier to let them go on and do what they're going to do because it's just so hard to rebuke. Don't want to hurt the feelings. Don't want to take that privilege away from them. Come on, how many times have we done that? Because we don't want to inconvenience our children. How often have we done that? Don't want to hurt his feelings. Listen, this family's father, Eli, the Scripture says he participated in the deeds of darkness while pretending obedience. The Scripture says that he was a hypocrite. And he knew of his son's iniquity and did not rebuke them. And this was a family who had God's judgment, where there'd be no more strength, no more atonement, and no more glory. You know, Eli's grandchild was being born when Eli was dying. And his sons were dying. They died. This baby comes out. You know what they say? The midwife say to her, "It's okay, it's a boy." She wept that day and she named that baby Ichabod. You know what Ichabod means? It means no glory. Because the glory departed from Israel on account of Eli and his sons. What kind of glory is in your life today? Do you have a heart for your children, for their welfare, spiritually? You know, I think about godliness and holiness, and you hear a lot of that from me. The question is, are your children and grandchildren a recipient of the holiness of God in your home? I mean, you know, a final thing that I would think about in not provoking our children is love your spouse. I can't tell you how many times I've seen kids, grown-ups, who grew up in homes where their parents didn't love one another, and the anger that came forth, and how that provoked them. Seek to have a model marriage in your home. That will avoid it. That will avoid it. That we are example of a husband and a mother that live before our children that truly honor one another. Because I've seen many children grow up angry because their parents fought, divorced. And I believe that's why God hates divorce. You know what God said? God said this to the Israelites, you know, if you don't obey me and obey my standards, somebody else is going to come raise your children. Strangers are going to raise them. What do you think the epidemic of divorce does? It allows strangers to raise your children. That's why God hates divorce. When usually the mama gets the babies and some other man raises those babies. That's why we must have Christ as the centerpiece of our lives. Because I believe this, if He's the centerpiece, will we be perfect? No. Will we mess up? Yes. But I believe this, that our heart, the children's heart, will be turned to You. And Your heart will be turned to them. Third thing, we'll finish with this. Pursue life's greatest joy. What is great life's greatest joy? Look what John said in 3 John 4. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. The greatest joy, to see them walking in the truth. Not being the most valuable player of the basketball team. Not making the cheerleading. Not making the squad. Not scoring the touchdown. My greatest joy is to hear of my children walking in the truth. Now, some of you who are older than us, and you know what I'm talking about. Because your kids, they get out of that sports stuff, they get out of that, and they go on, they live their own. And you know what? When you hear, if you're a godly parent, and you're in your 80s, 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and your adult child is walking for the Lord, it brings no greater joy than that. No greater joy. And pursue that by living this lifestyle before them and making certain that our hearts are turned to them and their hearts are turned to me, to us. You know, I've often used this illustration of Jonathan Edwards and the life that he led. And, you know, Jonathan Edwards, a few years ago, someone did a study on his descendants, and out of 929 descendants, 430 were ministers, 314 war veterans, 75 authors, 86 college professors, 13 university presidents, 7 congressmen, 3 governors, 1 vice president of the United States. You know, they did a study of another man. His name was Max Jukes. And he was kind of a famous guy in his own right at the same time. Max Jukes promoted promiscuity. Promoted humanism. And the same study found 1,026 descendants, 300 were convicts, 27 murders, 190 prostitutes, and 509 alcoholics and drug addicts. It's about leaving a legacy, folks. What kind of legacy will we leave our children? Will you turn your heart toward your children in this way? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank You so much for a great opportunity that we have to invest in our children. And I praise You for that. What a great opportunity. What a great opportunity that we miss. When school trumps church. When athletics trumps spirituality and relationship with You. What a great opportunity we miss to see our children honoring and obeying their parents, and parents whose hearts are turned toward their children, who are raising them in the fear and instruction of the Lord. Oh God, come, have mercy on us. We are at Your mercy, Lord. Come and move among us, we pray, in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Just as man knows.